me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. As you're getting that, this morning the Lord gave me that song that Minister Charles sang. And before that, he spoke about glory, about joy. He's in the message. He's in the message. We hadn't talked at all. And those two songs back to back, I just thank and praise the Lord because he's in the room. I have a word today. Go with me. Turn me down just a little bit. Luke chapter 15. I will be reading from the NIV version. We're going to be reading from verse 11. Hallelujah to 24. Amen. I'm reading from the NIV version. Begin the reading of the word. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods of the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to him, to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father,'" hallelujah, somebody say, "Father, okay, "I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servant, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead. And is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Somebody touch their neighbor and just say, "Celebrate." When we condemn ourselves, I said, when we condemn ourselves, we deny a connection with our Father. When we condemn ourselves, we deny a connection with our Father. When we deny ourselves, when we condemn ourselves, we deny a connection with our Father. But when we turn towards our Father, we give him permission to throw a party. I said, when we turn to our Father, we give him permission to throw a party. Hallelujah. My assignment is to show you how to bring our Father joy. My assignment is to show you how to bring our Father joy. Yeah. Bow your heads with me, Father. In the next few minutes, Father, I'm asking you to have your way. We are here because of you. We are here for you. And we are here to hear from you. So Father, like always, hide me behind your cross. No games. Do what you want to do in this house. Speak to your people. This vessel belongs to you. My mouth belongs to you. My mind belongs to you. My heart belongs to you. And you alone, Lord. Right now, I bind the demonic spirits that tries to infiltrate this place. And I loose your holy power, your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. But we will give you joy in this place. We ask that you would have the glory, the honor, and all the praise. And let it be in Jesus' name we pray. And let everybody say amen, amen, amen. Touch your neighbor and tell them you love them and mean it. Jesus Christ, he's in his ministry. He's ministering and magnifying the Lord in his ministry. And while he's attracting large crowds, I mean, it's getting up to the thousands, and the large crowds are just following him. But amidst the crowd, the Bible says the sinners begin to get closer to hear what Jesus has to say. Hallelujah. The sinners, the people who fall short of God's standard. Hallelujah. They want to get closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and then the tax preparer, the tax collectors, they're also easing closer to hear a word from the Lord Jesus. And the scribes and the Pharisees are murmuring under their breath. Hallelujah. And they're saying, oh my goodness. This man receives sinners and tax collectors. And Jesus, understand that Jesus knows your thoughts. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus knows your thoughts before you spoke it. He's the Word of God. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your heart. He knows your heart. Hallelujah. And he's the only one that can change your heart. Hallelujah. And while the publicans, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are murmuring, complaining, Jesus gives three parables to explain what's going on. Now, a parable is a logical story with a spiritual point. It's a made-up story. It's logical, but with a spiritual point. Hallelujah. The Lord gives the first. Now, before I even go there, is there anybody in the house that ever loved something and lost it?
Yeah.
Huh? And you look everywhere to try to find it. Maybe you found it that day. Maybe it took you weeks to find it. But as soon as you found it, you rejoiced.
Yeah.
You were more excited when you found it than when you bought it.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Yeah. Jesus is connected with the people the same way. He gives a story of if an individual had 100 sheep, lost one, wouldn't he leave the 99 sheep to go and find the one?
Yeah.
The Bible says once he found the one, he would put it on his shoulder, bring it back, invite his neighbors, invite his cousins, invite his friends, and throw a party.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now he's giving the spiritual point. Jesus says, heaven is like that. For every one sinner that repents is more joy than 100 righteous people that don't need to repent. Jesus gives a second parable. The second parable involves a woman. Hallelujah. He explains if a woman has 10 silver coins, now we're talking about a week's wage is a coin. If a woman lost one of those coins out of the 10, wouldn't she turn the house upside down? Come on, OJ has some women in here that knows how to look for something that is lost. Wouldn't she turn the house upside down to find that coin? And once she found that coin, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Once she found the coin, she would invite all of her neighbors, her family, her friends over to celebrate because I got joy. I didn't find something that was valuable to me. It was lost, and now it is found. Jesus says heaven is like that. Hallelujah. Yes. That when one sinner repents, heaven rejoices. Yes. Hallelujah. Over one sinner that repents. Want to go further. A sinner, we all know what a sinner is. A sinner is someone who falls short of God's standard. One that doesn't adhere to God's instruction. You have fallen short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. But repentance, thank God for repentance. Repentance means to change your mind. Let me come over here. It means to change your heart. It means to change your behavior. Gosh darn it. It means to change, baby. How many of us are so glad that we all, now listen, none of us are without sin. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But how many of us are excited for repentance because it was by connection with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus gives a third and final parable. Hallelujah. And this parable, thank you, Jesus. And this parable has a father. This story involves a father.
Yeah.
Two sons. One older and one younger. And the tension in this story begins right off the bat. Hallelujah. Because the younger son comes to the father and asks for his inheritance. Ah, that didn't make no sense on this side. The Bible says that the youngest son asked for his inheritance. Now, can you imagine the crowd, the Jews that were around listening to this? They were like, that's crazy. The only way you can have your inheritance is if the father is dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which means that the son desires his father to be dead. He's not patient enough to wait on the process, so he would rather want his dad dead. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody in the room got folks hanging out with them that desires them to be dead so they can have your stuff? Come on, somebody. I'm preaching now. You're around me because you want my stuff. Come on. You want me dead so you can have my spouse. You want me dead so you can have my house. You want my dead. You want me dead so you can have my resources. So you can have my connection. You want me dead. Hallelujah. So you can have my things. You want me dead so you can have my church. You want me dead so you can have my family. You want my dead. You want me dead so you can have my stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of us have been in a situation where we had people housing us around and they was good for nothing but training you for your stuff? You can't have my wife. You can't have my stuff. Listen, the Bible says a good man, a good father, leaves an inheritance for his children.
Yeah.
Children. the Bible records. And the Bible says he divides the inheritance to the younger son and divides the inheritance to the older son. Hold on. Only the youngest son asked for the inheritance, but the Bible says he divided it for the youngest and the oldest. And if I have time for those that want to go a little deeper, I'll break that down. Otherwise, I will save it for Wednesday. Oh, I love it when I do that. His inheritance and the oldest one his share of the inheritance. Hallelujah. How many of us have ever been in a relationship where you felt like you was being robbed? I didn't put all this love in this relationship. I didn't put all this money in this relationship. I'm on the phone with you day in and day out for hours. I didn't set you up with resources and references, and I'm being robbed. You got the nerve to want to come at me about some inheritance after all that I have done for you. You came in this world with nothing. You came in the relationship with bare minimum, and now you're leaving with a legacy of things because of me, and now you're robbing me. The devil is a liar, somebody. Come on, the devil is a liar. Listen, I quote George W. Bush when I say this. Fool me once. I'm going to do his version too. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Well, you just ain't going to be able to fool me again. That's how George W. Bush said. Shame on me. Hallelujah. Shame on me. There is no way you're going to be able to rob me, because the bottom line, even though you came to me to try to kill me with your disrespect, I wish I had somebody, but no weapon that is formed against me can ever prosper, honey. You can try to do way better than that. But because I have the heart of Christ Jesus, I'm not concerned with the disrespect. What I'm concerned is because you're breaking our connection. Hallelujah. I know that the world is a horrible, cruel place. This might be the last time I see you, baby. I wish I had somebody in here. Because I'm giving it to you. It's not the disrespect that's killing me. It's irritating me. But it's not killing me. What hurts is to know that now that you're going to be detached from me, your source, your resource, your strength, the thing that brought you back to life, that thing that ministered to you, that thing that encouraged you, hallelujah, that thing that dealt with your trauma, I rode with you, baby. And now that you got a little something, you think you're something. Hallelujah. You know what I mean. The Bible says, hallelujah. I can only imagine the pain it is to lose something that you love. Hallelujah. The heart, the character of God, the character of a father, not imposing his will on his child, but obligingly giving them what they want, but knowing, having foresight to know that I may never see you again, and to know that the heart of somebody that is a Christ-like person, how that may grieve you. Some of us who have lost a loved one, that may have lost someone, may have fallen into deep depression. Your soul may have laid dormant. Some of our souls, when we lost that loved one, it just died. It may as well have died. Depressed. Stuck. And I know that because the Bible shows me in Genesis, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had a son. He's Israel, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And one of his sons was Joseph. You remember the story. Joseph, the one with the coat of many colors. And the brothers were jealous of him. fathers casted him into a pit. And he was sold off into slavery. And the Bible says that the brothers came back to their father and said that, hallelujah, your favorite boy, Joseph, has been eaten up by a beast. He's dead. He's gone. And the Bible talks about how it ruined Joseph. It ruined Jacob. And Jacob, hallelujah, heart was in a dormant spot. He was depressed. He was in a dormant spot. How do you know that, Pastor? Because when the Bible says in Genesis chapter 43, when they discovered that Joseph lives, hallelujah, and they brought the news, oh, help me, Holy Spirit, back to their father, the Bible says that his soul revived, which means that his soul was in a second place, in a depressed place, in an isolated place. I'm here to minister to somebody. If you ever lost someone that has been close to you, and you have found yourself in a depressed state, I got good gospel news for you. The Bible says that the Father gave his only begotten Son. And his only begotten Son, hallelujah, was on a mission to die for the world. But what the Bible tells me is that the Holy Spirit, the Father, revived him, which means that Jesus lives. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus has the keys to life and death. Yeah. What does that mean for you? If you lost someone and they believed in Jesus, that Jesus has the power to wake them up. Yeah. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying if you believe that Jesus lives, your loved one still lives. I wish I had somebody. Still lives. When Jesus lives, your loved one lives. Hallelujah. The Bible expounds and says that the young man dashes off to a far country. Hallelujah. And I love it because he went far away where nobody could recognize him. Nobody would know his name. Come on, somebody. You know when you went to travel and you thought you was all big and bad and you was ready to do your thing and the freak dick. To none of the saints. Because you know when you ran to one of the saints, it was hallelujah. And he went to a far country, the Bible says. And he got his freak on. The Bible says that he was living recklessly, he was living wildlessly, he was living a wild lifestyle. And the Bible says that he ran out of money. Can you imagine? You're like a battery. But you have no charge. God only, your father only gave you enough like a battery. The only way to get a recharge, you have to connect back with the Father. And he's a battery. And his battery ran out of juice. Hallelujah, can you imagine? And he's in this foreign country, his foreign land, nobody knows him. He's doing his thing and he runs out. And what makes matters worse, not only he was cut off from the source, but the Bible says that the country went into a famine. That means that now the country is cut off from its source. So now I got no stuff. The country I'm in don't have no stuff. And now the Bible says he was impoverished. He was in poverty. He went from a king's kid to now a peasant. Worse than the pigs. Why you say that, Pastor? Because where I'm about to go next. He was looking for a job, but nobody had anything for him. And then the only job that was hiring was those who owned the pigs. They gave him a job to serve the pigs. to a Jew. It's disgusting. It is nasty. Come on, somebody. It's squeamish. It is detestable to a Jew. It's disgusting. It's lower than the lowest thing you could ever do. Come on. Have you ever been so needy? Come on. Have you ever been so thirsty? Have you ever been so hungry? Have you ever been so desperate that you found yourself in the midst of pigs? Come on, somebody. You were in the midst of beasts who would consume anything. The Bible says, do not cast your pearls amongst the swine. Why? Because it doesn't respect it. It has no worth or no value to a pig. Come on, honey. The reason why you in your mess with that man is because you're with a pig. That's why he had valued the standards of God. The reason why she ain't faithful to you is because you have allowed yourself to not practice patience, but you wanted to rush things. You didn't want to wait on the Lord. You'd rather, you were so desperate and needy, you ended up with a pig. He's with the pigs. A pig is omnivorous creatures. They're omnivores. They eat anything. Come on, baby. No matter how disgusting. No matter how disgusting. It don't matter how perverted. It doesn't matter how nasty. They will fill their bellies with all of that smoke. They'll fill their lungs with all of that drink. They'll fill their mind with all that nasty, perverted stuff. They'll fill their hearts with all that nasty and distorted stuff. It's nasty and disgusting. The pigs. The Bible says that the pig was the only beast that Jesus allowed the devil to enter. Jesus is God in the flesh, casting devils out of people. But when it comes to the omnivores, in other words, the beasts that will do anything, that will consume anything, Jesus cast devils in them. He cast them out of those that repent. That will do anything. That's how I look. I do anything, but I won't do that. Remember that Eagle? Down the Rio. Down the Rio. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. I don't know what he's talking about, but I feel it. I ain't doing that, Doc. The Bible says that he desired, oh, come on somebody, look at the behavior. He couldn't wait on the kingdom. He couldn't be the best and wait in the kingdom to get all that was for him. So now he wants to receive the best of the pigs. The Bible says he began to lust. He was so hungry, mother, that he was lusting for the food, the pods, that the pigs were consuming. You know how nasty that is? I want to eat the stuff the pigs eat it. Then the Bible says, I don't know how it happened. I can only tell you that there's some things in life, and you know what I'm saying. Oh, I want to talk to some real folks that had a rough night and woke up and looked to their side and was like, oh, what was I? Saints in the house. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. That late night where you was vomiting all over the place, and once you came to yourself, you said, what was I thinking? Come on, somebody. That late night, that time that you got robbed inside job. I would say that it's an inside job. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What in the world was I? The Bible says he came to himself and he began to think about how good he had it at his father's. Hallelujah. So this is where I introduce to you the antagonist. The enemy of not being able to repent. At this place, he's ready to repent. He's ready to change. He's going towards his father. He's looking towards his father. That is repentance. He's ready to change. I did it wrong. Now it's time to connect with my father. That is repentance. But what stops us from repenting? What keeps an addict on the streets all of this time when they know they need help? What keeps somebody who is struggling on the streets out there when they know they need help? Why aren't they getting the help? I introduce you to our favorite enemy, self-righteousness. Preventing you from starting a party with Jesus, from repenting. It is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness means that you are putting yourself as God.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on now.
Self-righteous people condemn and judge. Nobody made you judge, only one judge, and that's in heaven. Hallelujah. And even the Bible says that my son did not come to condemn the world, why are you here? But to save it. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Self-righteousness. Self-righteous people create a narrative based on what they feel like they deserve or what they worthy of. So I'm going to create the narrative like I don't deserve to be forgiven for what I did because it was so jacked up. Who made you the judge? Come on, somebody. The Bible says that Abraham believed God. And because Abraham believed God, God, the master, the creator, counted that as righteousness. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is all righteousness is predicated on your faith in Jesus.
Yes.
It's based on your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what makes you righteous. Not by works. Lest you boast and say, I deserve. I'm worthy of what I got. You won't deserve nothing, honey. Hallelujah. But I want to let you know, you are worthy. Why you say that, Pastor? Because your lives, he gave his life so that you may live, which means you are worth his life. So don't walk around saying that you're not worthy of a good man, or that you're not worthy of a good woman, or that you're not worthy of a good job, or you're not worthy to make some money. Worthy of a beautiful family. Are you not worthy to be treated like a woman or a man of God? You are worth Jesus' life.
Imagine.
My children ain't earned nothing. They cute. What my babies are, they ain't earned nothing. All they do is cost me a whole lot of money. They ain't earned nothing. But I would give my life for just one of them. For one. That's what makes them worthy. Because I see myself in them. That's what makes them worthy. They're worthy just because they exist. You hear me, sir? Just because you're alive, you're worthy.
because you have life in your mouth. That's what makes you perfect. That's why we don't abandon your neighbors out on the street, because they're worthy.
Yeah.
Because they have breath. They have God's breath in their mouth. The son, youngest son, is on his way back to his father. He's dealing with this dichotomy. He's dealing with the dichotomy. What's the dichotomy, Pastor? Repentance and self-righteousness.
Yeah.
Why do you say that? Because while he's on his way to meet his father, he's talking to himself and saying that I'm going to tell my father I'm not worthy. Are y'all following me back there?
Yeah.
He's telling his father, he's talking to himself and saying, I'm going to tell my dad I don't deserve to be your son because of what I did. Self-righteousness. But the Bible, come on somebody, but I want to help somebody. As soon as you turn to the Lord, it's as if there's a beacon device that is going off on your heart. Hallelujah. Because as soon as you make your move here, you ain't got to go nowhere else. The Bible says he will find you where you are. Let me get the little device. He will find you where you is. You ain't got to make a whole bunch of paces, because the Bible tells us that the Father saw his son coming from afar and he raced to go be his son.
Yeah.
And then the Bible tells us he hugs him and kisses him. This is before the son says a word. I know that you're on your knees and, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. But the Lord always knows that your heart has changed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He already knows. The Bible says that the father saw him in that walk coming into races. He raced and he kissed him and he hugged him. He embraced him. The joy, come on somebody, his soul revived. His soul revived. The Bible shows us that the son then gives the self-righteous statement. The self-righteous statement was, Father, I have sinned against you and heaven. I am not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worth it to be your son. Understand this. When you give God self-righteous talk, he ignores you. He doesn't hear self-righteousness. Do you hear what I'm saying to you, church? He doesn't even hear it, because the Bible says as soon as he makes that statement, come on, somebody, he gives him a robe, he gives him a ring, and he gives him sandals. He tells the servant, go cut up and chop up the calf. We're about to have a feast. We're about to celebrate. Why? Because my son was lost, but now he's found. My son was dead, and now he's alive. What are you saying to me, Pastor? What I'm saying is that self-righteousness condemns.
My God.
But God forgives.
Yeah.
Self-righteousness condemns. Jesus forgives. Come on, somebody. I want to make sure I say this right. Holy Spirit. Repentance. Hallelujah. Let me look at this thing. Come on, Holy Spirit. Repentance, hallelujah, I just want to make sure I get it right,
amen,
hallelujah, here we go, I can't see, but I remember, repentance, every time, invites the Father to celebrate all the time. Repentance every time invites our Father to celebrate all the time. You understand what I'm saying? Repentance every time invites the Father to celebrate all the time. What are you saying to me? When you repent, there's a celebration.
Yeah.
He's not condemning you. That's what self-righteousness does. When you repent all the time because you're still doing the same thing over and over and over again, and you're still doing it over and over again, guess what? When you repent, he celebrates again.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get tired of celebrating. Amen. Give me 2 minutes. The Bible says that when the Father divided the inheritance, he gave one to the younger child, the one that asked him, and he gave one to the older child. And I'm like, Lord, this doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense. Why do you give the inheritance to the oldest child to the youngest one wanted his stuff all quick, fast, and hurry. He wanted you dead. And the Lord showed me, but the oldest one wanted me dead too. What you mean? What you mean, Lord? Show me in the text. He says, real quick. If you go back and read 25-32, the Bible says, as they were celebrating, the youngest son, because he repented. Y'all do this with me. It's only before you remember. The father celebrated the youngest son because he repented. When the oldest son heard the singing and the dancing and the loud noise, he went to a servant and said, what's going on? And the servant says, your brother is back. And your father says, let's kill the fatted calf and let's have a... And the oldest son refused to go in. The Bible says he got angry and refused to go in. So the father comes out and says, come on, man, why aren't you coming in? I'm paraphrasing. Why aren't you coming in? And he says, Dad, I'm paraphrasing, Father, this was the same one that took the inheritance and went to a further country far away, and he was with prostitutes and in wild living, and he comes back and you throw him a feast. I've been serving you all this time, and I followed all your laws, and I followed all your instructions, and you ain't never had no feast for me and my friends. You ain't never had a feast for me and my friends. And the Lord says, because you've been with me, everything I have is yours. Everything is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate your brother. Why? What's the principle? We had to celebrate your brother because he repented. And because he repented, it follows a celebration, not condemnation, a celebration. So what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is, even though the oldest son was present, he didn't have access. Why? Because the only way to have access to the Father is through repentance. So the Bible says, closes with this. We had to celebrate your brother because he was lost and now he's found. He was dead and now he's alive. The parable ends that way. So what are you saying to us, church? What are you saying to us, Pastor? Don't let your story end that way. Don't let your story end where you're not connected with the Father because you're filled with self-righteousness. He loves you because you exist. You're worthy. He died for you. Do you hear what I'm saying, church?
Yeah.
Am I clear, church?
Yeah.
Am I clear?
Yes.
Go on, give me something nice and holy spirit ghost. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are in the room. Put your hands together. Say, the Lord wanted me to do this real quickly because I know that you all have reservations to repent. Right? Because it's going to be celebrations, right? So I know it's going to be a lot of repenting. Praise the Lord. Directing ourselves back to the Lord. Is Elder Renee in the room? Elder Renee, you got to run. The Lord showed me something. Can you come up? The Lord showed me something. And I just want to be obedient to what he showed me. I'm gonna make a couple, two altar calls. This is one. Tommy, Elder Tommy, come up. I just want to be obedient to the Spirit. Okay. Come on, come on. There are people in the room. Now listen to my words clearly. I'm just being obedient to the Spirit of God. Father's Day is a day where some people are not celebrating. They're hurting. If you lost a father, thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible says when Jesus was on the cross and his mother looked on at her son's suffering, he says, "Mother, behold your son." He was talking about John, the beloved. In other words, I need you to be able to feel something that is real, that is connected to me. If somebody has lost a father and is having a tough time, don't waste this opportunity to behold your father.